You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, we're doing it live. I'm Matt Rothschild here with Dom. John and Gordy are off this morning. They'll be back this afternoon, though, from 2 to 5 all across the Civic Media Radio Network, so you can catch them then. Right now on the Civic Media Radio Network, there's a big promo. It's our grown-up gift list, Text to Win, a multi-state contest. It's your daily chance to win $200, and every entry puts you into our three grand prize drawings for a brand-new snowblower. Really need it. We're having old-fashioned December here in Madison.
Oh, yeah.
Stainless steel cookware set or a portable air conditioner. We won't need that for a while. This hour's keyword is chance. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station, WMDX, and use the text button to send the keyword chance for your chance to win in this multi-state contest. Again, as I'm sure you're aware now, the word is chance. Find WMDX on the Civic Media app and use the text button to send that keyword chance right now. You have until the end of the hour to get in. Good luck. And downloading the app on Civic Media is really easy. You know, I've only downloaded, this is a confession, two apps on my phone. One is the Civic Media app, and the other is the Merlin app from the Cornell Ornithology Department.
You've only downloaded two apps?
Those are my two apps. Those are the two apps that I use on my phone.
I could say I probably have about 80 apps, and it's all just stuff I haven't touched in probably 4 years, but...
Well,
two.
Two. I've shown my age there. It's the only two I need. Tell me what birds are outside, and then I like to listen to Jane Mantenere's show on the Civic Media app, and if I'm around somewhere else and I need to tune in and I'm out of range of Civic Media, I can get it that way. You can also always listen to Civic Media at civicmedia.us on your computer, streaming live around the world. And you can join our conversation here at 608-879-8255. That's 879-8255. Call or text, and we'll get you on. You can talk about birds. You can talk about politics. Anything that you'd like, we'll get you on, and we'll have some conversation, because that's what we like to do at WMDX and on the Civic Media Radio Network, which is just have conversation. It's not a quiz. It's not a lecture hall. It's a conversation. But what I wanted to do now while we're waiting for our guests is talk about the big story that is in the news, which is this story about Hegseth and the war crime that he and his admiral appear to have committed in the striking of this boat in September, especially the striking of the two people who were shipwrecked after the first strike. I wanted to read a little bit from the Washington Post on this. Check out this headline. Hegseth, with White House help, tries to distance himself from boat strike fallout. Officials in Congress and the Pentagon said Monday they're increasingly concerned that the Trump administration intends to scapegoat the military officer who directed U.S. forces to kill two survivors of a targeted strike on suspected drug smugglers. Of course, we don't know if they are drug smugglers. In Latin America, as lawmakers made moves to investigate whether the attack constituted a war crime. The Washington Post reported exclusively Friday that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth gave a spoken order to kill the entire crew, to kill everyone on this vessel that was allegedly bringing narcotics into the Caribbean Sea. It was the first of 20 such strikes that the administration has been waging since early September. When two survivors were detected, the military commander overseeing the operation, Admiral Frank Bradley, directed another strike to comply with Hegseth's order that no one be left alive, people with direct knowledge of the matter told the Post. Karen Leavitt, the White House press secretary, acknowledged Monday that Hegseth had authorized Bradley to conduct the strikes. Bradley, she added, worked well within his authority and the law. I don't know where she gets off saying that, directing the engagement. Her scripted remarks at a news briefing elicited a furious backlash within the Defense Department, where officials described feeling angry at the uncertainty over whether Hegseth would take responsibility for his alleged role in the operation or leave the military and civilian staff under him to face the consequences. This is Protect Pete BS, one military official said. And then, of course, Hegseth writing on social media yesterday evening also kind of threw the Admiral under the bus. He said he stands by the Admiral, quote, and the combat decisions he has made. So this is not exactly standing by your man, not exactly having your man's back when you are throwing a knife into that man's back. So I'm interested in what our listeners have to say about that. The phone number is 608-879-8255. 879-8255. This is kind of lawlessness squared. It's a lawless act by Trump and Hegseth to be attacking these boats in the Caribbean. They haven't, declared war against the United States, these little boats that are being attacked by the biggest military in the world.
I mean, and the fact that the admiral said leave no survivors, right? Is that...
Well, that's what Hegseth's order was, leave no survivors. Kill everyone was the quote that the Washington Post unearthed on Friday in its exclusive reporting, which it may get a Pulitzer Prize for. The admiral seemed to be just following orders. But, of course, we remember from the Nuremberg trials that just following orders is not an excuse either. I mean, I do think the admiral was on the hook for a war crime here, and I think Hegseth is on the hook, too, and I think Donald Trump is on the hook, too. But the question for us throughout this Trump administration is, are we going to ever get accountability? Is there going to be accountability for Donald Trump? This U.S. Supreme Court gave him immunity. Maybe the International Criminal Court at The Hague won't be so inclined. We've got a call from one of the smartest callers we ever get here on Civic Media, Joe in Madison. So let's hear what Joe has to say.
Well, I'm not sure about that. It's quite an esteemed crew that you put me with. They're very brilliant people calling every day. Great show, really interesting topics, and thank you for the interview with a striker from Starbucks. That was very fascinating. It's first off, I do want to say you've been putting bird calls within the caller's call, and you could do a Cooper's hawk for me if you wanted to, because they're still sticking around this winter, and I just absolutely adore them.
Yeah, and the Cooper's hawk will go grab birds off your bird feeder if you're not careful.
Yes,
they like the backyard birds.
Yeah, everybody's got to eat. You know, everybody needs breakfast, I guess. But yeah, at any rate, I think it's so important that you're bringing up this topic, because this situation with Hegseth is one of just an absolute mobster approach to world politics, and it does not win us friends in the end. If people realize that we are in a situation where we are firing on boats to the point of people dying, what you're supposed to do is call the Coast Guard, have them come to the side, and if they've got drugs, you interdict them. You know, this doesn't do anything. This doesn't stop it. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. What it does is make people, they can feel like a manly man because, oh, I blew this boat out of the water. This does not move international politics. This does not stop the overall flow of drugs into our country. And I just think I'm really glad that you brought this topic up. You did mention that you're going to be interviewing David Marinus later in the show. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's where we're planning on it, the 7:30 hour. Maybe I'll come on a little early even. Who knows? But yeah, I'd love to talk with him.
Yeah, I did want to say one of the things that has so impressed me about him, incredible author, written on wonderful things. I did hope that you can bring up the fact of his biography on Vince Lombardi, which would be a lovely Christmas present for a lot of people within the state, because it gives such an incredible picture of this man who not only was a great football coach, but was one of the first football coaches who absolutely led the way on integrating the NFL for African-American people, but also for gay people. And he is the child of Italian immigrants. So where you started your show, looking at the whole situation of immigrants into this country, there's somebody that really set the world on fire in the world of football. And he did it by insisting, absolutely insisting, that his team be integrated and that the city around him accepted the black players who were part of the team. So I hope that can be touched on, because it's such an important part of our state's history. And we're so proud of having Vince Lombardi as one of our state's heroes. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Matt.
Thanks, Joe. Always appreciate the call. Yeah, I wanted to emphasize Dave Marinus's biography on Vince Lombardi, where he talks about, just as Joe was saying, Vince Lombardi, when he got to Green Bay, integrated the team. He would not have anyone on the team who issued any bigoted comments against black people, against Jews, or against Italian Americans. He was an Italian American. He said, if I hear one word like that from any of you, you're off the team. Not only that, he went to all the bars and restaurants in Green Bay and said, if you're not going to serve black people, we are not coming to your place of business. So he did more than anyone to integrate Green Bay. It's really a great story that David Marinus unearthed and Joe reminds us of. Vince Lombardi fought for civil rights in a very forceful, private way, but he really made change happen. And his players admired him greatly for that. So, yeah, we'll be speaking with David Marinus after the 7:30 break, I think. But Joe is also correct about her initial comment on what Trump and Hegseth are doing, what Joe called the mobster approach. Actually, that could describe what Trump is doing generally. I mean, he's running the government like he is the don of a huge mobster family. And it's not helping us in the long term, Joe said. It certainly isn't. This doesn't help America's reputation. It's not solving the problem. The idea, as Joe said, that we're acting like manly men by blowing these ships up. I mean, how hard is that for the Navy or for the Air Force to go knock out a tiny little boat in the Caribbean? And yet they show it like it's this great feat of technology when they show the videos. It's just ridiculous. But it also is, there is continuity and there is discontinuity. The discontinuity is Trump's total mobster approach about everything. The continuity is with the idea that the U.S. government can do whatever the hell it wants in Latin America, which has been here since the Monroe Doctrine, and today is the anniversary of the Monroe Doctrine. So we have a history, and we shouldn't blind ourselves to the history of illegal U.S. interventions throughout Latin America for the last 140 years just because Donald Trump is doing it. We can't say this is Donald Trump and it's totally not in keeping with what other U.S. presidents have done. We need to face facts. U.S. presidents have violated international law and other countries' sovereignty throughout Latin America for more than a century. And it's really a not pretty history. We saw it in the 80s in Central America with the assistance to the Contras in Nicaragua, who are fighting the government in Nicaragua. We saw it in El Salvador. We saw it in Guatemala. We saw it in Chile in the 70s. We've seen it throughout U.S. history. So there is continuity. There also is discontinuity in this mobster style government that we have in Donald Trump. Love to have your comments on this after the break. I'm Matt Rothschild sitting in here for John and Gordy, who will be back this afternoon from 2 to 5. You can join the conversation as Joe and Mark have at 608-879-8255. That's 879-8255 right here on WMDX. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, it is dying to get better. Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for John and Gordy, who will be back this afternoon from 2 to 5 all across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm here with producer extraordinaire Dom here on WMDX. Dom and I work together on a podcast I do called Wisconsin Forward, where I was able to interview every one of the Democratic candidates running for governor so far. It was fun to have them parade on through here, and people can find that at civicmedia.us or just Google my name. That's Matt Rothschild and Wisconsin Forward Podcast. And you can find that conversation. I enjoyed that. Reflecting back on that, Dom, is there any candidate or any interview that stood up for you as something that caught your attention?
Again, it was probably Francesca Hong, honestly. I would say it was the first person that came to my mind. I really did like David Crowley as well. Really liked him. I love the way that he perceived himself and came in here and talked very, very fluently and
yeah, David Crowley was great.
Yeah,
Francesca Hong is wonderful. She's running as a Democratic socialist, mm-hmm. proud Democratic socialist to be running for governor, and it is a kind of a Democratic socialist moment here with Mamdani in New York. Sometimes when capitalism doesn't work at all, as we're seeing with the Starbucks strikers, people look for a different way of arranging the economy and wonder why people can't live a decent life even if they're working 40 hours a week. I mean, it's ridiculous. At Starbucks, paying people $15 an hour in Madison, Wisconsin, which doesn't cover half your rent.
But I was very impressed with 150, I think already 150 Starbucks are on strike, is what she said. And that's very impressive stuff. You know, it's hard to do. And at some point, she was right. They're going to take notice, and they're going to.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, they may stiff arm him. This is what union busting firms, huge corporations have done from the beginning of the labor movement. You know, they just stiff arm people. You know, it used to be they would crudely, you know, kill, union organizers back in the early part of the 20th century. Now they just have their lawyers come in and tell people you're going to be fired or you're going to be docked if you join the union, which is intimidation that's illegal. But one corporation after another keeps doing it. Starbucks was cited by the National Labor Relations Board, as the striking Starbucks worker Allie Kerr told us in the last hour, cited for an illegal labor action, anti-union action, and yet, you know, it's not bringing them back to the table. That's because the penalties in the law are almost non-existent. And so if you're just worried about your bottom line, you can just say, well, I don't care if I'm violating the law. What are you going to do for me? You know, fire me fine me $1,000. What's that going to do? Just giant Starbucks. But again, if you're listening and you like to go to Starbucks, don't go to Starbucks right now. There's a strike out there. There are striking workers in Madison. Do not go to any Starbucks. There are a couple Starbucks that aren't on strike in Madison, but don't go to those either. Try to honor the strike. Don't be a strike breaker. There are unionized coffee shops like Colectivo here in Madison and in Milwaukee and all across Wisconsin. Go to Colectivo. Enjoy your coffee there. And when the strike is over, when the union's been recognized by Starbucks, when they get their first contract, feel free to go back to Starbucks. But right now, while there's a strike on, you can't go to Starbucks, and you'll live without your Starbucks coffee.
And Colectivo coffee is really good, too. I even have – there's food there. There's pastries, and I've been there quite a few times, and I've loved it.
Yeah, I've gone to the one right there on the square, especially in the summer when the windows open. It's a wonderful spot. There's a Colectivo coffee on Monroe Street I've been to also. There's one off of University Avenue near Shorewood, which I've been to. So, yeah, there are plenty of places to go, and there are other local coffee shops that aren't union busting – anti-labor coffee shops that you can go to as well. But if you want a union cup of coffee, go to Colectivo. Certainly do not go to Starbucks. That was the message that we got from Allie Kerr. And, you know, the neat thing about getting guests on this show is sometimes you don't know how hard it's going to be. And I just found Allie Kerr's name in some news story. I was looking to get a Starbucks striker on here, and I couldn't find her phone number. I just found her on Facebook, sent her a direct message on Facebook, and she showed up. And so that was awesome. I really appreciate Allie Kerr answering the bell and coming on. We're supposed to have Dave Marinus on after the break. I'd love to have him on. He is a former Washington Post reporter and editor, has twice won the Pulitzer Prize. His books are amazing. The one that probably affected me most was his book on Vietnam, They Marched Into Sunlight. It's an incredible book about what was going on in the United States in 1967, what was going on in Vietnam in 1967 at the same time. But the Vietnam story about how a freshly minted commanding officer goes to Vietnam and leads his soldiers blindly, foolishly into an ambush is one of the most harrowing tales I ever read. About Vietnam, and it really brings you immediately into that horrible scene. So it was a very powerful book. Looking forward to talking to David Marinus about what he makes of the Trump administration. He also has written biographies on Obama and Bill Clinton. He studied politics, and I saw him at a rally here in Madison on State Street that David Cooper, the former sheriff, had in August, you know, the Recapture the Cross rally. And I admired him from attending the protest and made a note in my mind. The next time I have an opportunity, I'll try to get David Marinus on radio. So you're listening to the John and Gordy Show. I'm not John or Gordy. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm here with Dom. John and Gordy will be back this afternoon. from 2 to 5 all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Meantime, you're listening to me and Dom here on WMDX Madison. We'll be right back. Hey, Matt Rothschild with you on the John Gordy Show. John Gordy aren't here, as you probably gathered by now. They will be on from 2 to 5 all across the Civic Media Radio Network this afternoon. The number to call here is 608-879-8255. That's 879-8255 here at WMDX. And now I am delighted to have as my guest David Marinus. David Marinus is the winner of two Pulitzer Prizes, among a raft of other prizes. He's the author of more than a dozen books, including biographies of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, as well as Jim Thorpe, Roberto Clemente, and Vince Lombardi. He also wrote one of the best Vietnam books of all time, as I was talking about before the break, They Marched Into Sunlight. You know, one of the cool things about living here in Madison, Wisconsin, is that there are all these amazing, accomplished folks right here in our midst. And one of the most accomplished is Dave Marinus. So welcome to the program, Dave. Is he here?
He seems to be bounced out. So give me a couple minutes and he should be back in here.
Okay. Right? Well, I had just seen him, so I'm sure we can get him back.
Yep.
So he is writing a new book also on the first Black American boxer to be heavyweight champion, Jack Johnson. And so we're going to be looking to see what he says about that, too. So that's interesting. Meanwhile, we have a call from Charles. We'll take the call from Charles, and then we'll get Dave Marinus on. Charles, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, man. I wanted to go back to the whole blowing up of the boats.
So sure.
My question this whole entire time is, why haven't the rest of the world leaders or court, whoever, like for Putin and Netanyahu, they're not allowed to go certain places because of crimes that they've committed. Why hasn't that been done to the Trump administration? And then second of all, if you're claiming that these are drug boats, normally if I happen to go on the internet and look at Channel 6 News or whatever and see that there has been a drug bust somewhere in Wisconsin that is broadcast on Channel 6 News, they will usually have the spread of the drugs, the guns that they've collected, the money. We're not seeing any of that. These people expect us to just take their word that these are drug running boats.
Correct. Charles from Milwaukee, that's a great call and a great point. There is no evidence here. There is no trial. This is just just assassination. It's just bumping people off, and it's disgusting. You're right. I mean, Trump and Hegseth need to be designated as war criminals. If they're designated by the International Criminal Court as war criminals, then other countries could grab them. Of course, who's going to do that? But at some point, there needs to be some accountability. Charles from Milwaukee. So thanks for the call. We do have Dave Marinus with us. How are you doing, David?
Hello, David. Hey, it looks like he froze.
All right.
It looks like he froze.
We're still working on it.
Technical difficulties.
It's too bad because I have him right here in my sights, and I look forward to carrying on that conversation.
Oh, he might. Here he is. I think he's here. Let's see.
All right.
I'm trying to be here. Am I?
Yeah, that's good. That's good, David. Let's get going.
I am sorry. I'm such a techno idiot.
But... Oh, you and me both. Don't worry about it. So let's get right to it. What do you make of Donald Trump and what he's doing to our country?
Well, boy, is that a loaded question. I think he's the worst president in American history, which is saying something. Mm-hmm. And if you had to pick the worst 20 people in America who aren't mass murderers, Donald Trump would be one of them. So what he's doing to our country is very dangerous. I was an optimist my whole life until he came along. Mm-hmm. I am starting, after a year of real pessimism, to starting to believe again that this can be overcome.
And what makes you believe that we're going to get through this?
The combination, not so much what's happening with Epstein and the way that sort of split MAGA, but a combination of that the fact that he is a lame duck and Republicans in Congress are starting to see that. But mostly I think it has to do with the overreach in Venezuela. I think that really, you know, you never know what's gonna break this whole dark tragedy. And there were so many times before when I thought, or millions of people thought, it might be the end of it. But I'm starting to see that this combination of events is really having an effect.
It's still possible, though, in Venezuela, that he's just going to go in and take out Maduro and just invade. Do you see him doing that?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, as the more that his power diminishes, the more dangerous he'll be.
Right.
I agree with that. He very well could invade Venezuela. But I think Congress is starting to wake up, which, you know, the Republicans could have stopped this at any moment for the last 10 years and didn't.
I hold Mitch McConnell primarily responsible. I mean, he had a moment of historical reckoning there at the second impeachment trial, and he blinked. He struck out. He didn't rise to the moment. Do you have any clue about what happened there?
Well, I don't, but I did happen to see him at a book party later. One of my friends wrote a biography of him, and McConnell showed up and walked around the room muttering, "I don't recognize my Republican Party anymore."
Really? Well, he was a big part of it.
Of course he was. You know, he helped create that Republican Party.
Wow. And he could have rid us of this awful person if he had wanted to.
There's so many things that could have rid. I mean, you know, it's sort of fruitless to play the blame game, but boy, so could Merrick Garland if he had acted faster.
Yeah, and John Roberts could have helped instead of hurt, too. Let's just shift gears for a second and talk about what's happening to journalism. You were at the Washington Post forever. Of course, they had this great story on Hegseth, so it's still a functioning paper with functioning reporters, but they, dropping their editorial to endorse Kamala Harris at the last minute because the Bezos didn't want it to happen was just a signal that, the mainstream, many members of the mainstream media were going to bow to Donald Trump, and journalism has just been under fire from all forces for a long time. So how do you assess where we are in journalism right now?
Well, what happened to the newspaper makes me sick. Made me stop working for it. I said I would never write again for the Post as long as Jeff Bezos owned it. You know, there's this whole argument that I find specious that, well, he's the owner, he can do whatever he wants. In one sense, that's true, but I think of newspapers as public trusts. Mm-hmm. And I think that he violated the public trust of the Washington Post. I still have, most of my friends have left, but there's still wonderful reporters working there. I mean, that story on Hegseth was done by Ellen, one of my closest associates there, and wrote a book about Al Gore with me. And she's great. And there's so many people that are still doing great work, but the opinion page, the editorial page is, repulsive. Mm-hmm. It's not just what Bezos ordered, but now the new editorial editor, some young guy who is a flaming right winger, had an editorial or opinion column the other day, basically blaming the Democrats for trying to impeach Trump and for going after him.
And they had one defending the one person in Congress who voted not to release the Epstein files. They were praising that person. I mean, so that is a huge sea change there at the Post.
Oh, it totally is.
Hey, one of our, go ahead, David.
Well, I was going to say, It's kind of an upside down world when the Wall Street Journal has stronger editorials than the Washington Post.
Oof, that's nasty. We have one of our regular listeners here, Larry from Deerfield, who was saw that I was going to have you on. And he said, Matt, you've got to ask David Marinus about the book he's working on right now, Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight champion of the world. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about that project?
Well, I'm about halfway into it. It's an incredible story, and it's really, you know, like my other sports books, in quotes, Lombardi, Clemente, and Thorpe, I chose figures who transcend sports and tell more about American culture and sociology and history. And Jack Johnson is such an example of that. He was the first black heavyweight champion. He won it in 1908. And several years later, after he had defeated the quote-unquote Great White Hope, Jim Jeffries, the U.S. government went after him in a concerted racist prosecution for violating the Mann Act, transporting white women across state lines. Mm-hmm. He did have a lot of white girlfriends and prostitutes, but the whole effort to get him was purely based on the fact that he was considered dangerous because of his unwillingness to bow to the norms of white society. So, you know, it's been an incredible journey for me to report this book, and I've started to write it. The first chapter is about the play, The Great White Hope, which Muhammad Ali went to see three times, and he told the cast afterwards, "I am Jack Johnson."
Wow.
In other words, two black men who refused to conform to the white society, who were sent into exile. Johnson, literally, who went to Europe for 8 years to escape, and Muhammad Ali, who was sent into exile because he refused to fight in Vietnam.
David Marinus, civil rights is a theme that runs through almost all your books. Tell me why that grabs you so hard.
You know, Matt, it's in my blood. My father was the commander of an all-black unit in World War II, and really sort of inculcated into all of his children the need for social, racial justice. So, you know, it's not just with me. It's my son writes books about the same thing, and it's just part of America's trait that is as deep as anything in us.
Yeah, I've got it too. My folks were involved in the civil rights, fair housing movement in the late 1960s in North Shore, Chicago. So it stays with us. I wish we had all day to talk. David Marinus, Pulitzer Prize winner, thanks for being on the show. Let's get together again sometime.
That'd be great, Matt, and thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Coffee, but not Starbucks coffee. There's a strike on here in Madison and across the country. We had a striker here in the studio last hour, Allie Kerr, explaining why you shouldn't go to Starbucks. Go to Collectivo or another local coffee shop. Collectivo's unionized, so if you want unionized coffee, go there. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in for John and Gordy. They will be on this afternoon from 2 to 5 all across the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to WMDX, part of the Civic Media Radio Network, right here in Madison, Wisconsin. The phone number to call or text if you want to jump in here in the last 6 minutes, 608-879-8255. Tell me what you thought of David Marinus. What a tremendous treasure to have here in Madison, one of the best nonfiction writers in the country, winner of two Pulitzer Prizes. His book on Vietnam, They Marched in the Sunlight, indispensable. His book on Vince Lombardi, the Joe caller from Madison, mentions a lot, a really important book, especially for the emphasis on Vince Lombardi's otherwise unknown story until David Marinus unearthed it about Vince Lombardi's role in integrating Green Bay and standing up for civil rights. Quite a story, quite a guy. I wanted to let you know that there's still this offer that Civic Media is doing right now. It's our grown-up gift list, text to win, multi-state contest. Your daily chance to win $200. And every entry puts you into our three grand prize drawings for a brand new snowblower, which you really need, as we've seen over the last few days. Also, you could get a stainless steel cookware set or a portable air conditioner. This hour's keyword is chance. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Dom has 100 downloads. I only have the Civic Media app and the Merlin app, but
it's easy
to download an app. Find WMDX at the Civic Media app. Use the text button to send the keyword chance for your chance to win in this multi-state contest. The word again, if you aren't listening closely, is chance. So find WMDX on the Civic Media app. Use the text button to send the keyword. Right now, you have until 9 o'clock, and good luck with that. I do want to thank our guests, Allie Kerr and Dave Marinus, for being on the show. I want to thank all the callers and listeners and texters who have joined the conversation, Joe and Mark in particular, Charles from Milwaukee. It was great to hear from you. I want to thank Dom Lee, who does a terrific job here with the show and also with my podcast, Wisconsin Forward, on the Civic Media Radio Network. I also want to thank Catherine Lake and Sage Weil for inviting me in the door here at Civic Media. And now I'm joined just for the last couple minutes by Liz Johnston. She is the owner of the Serenity Pet Spa. There are three of those in Madison, I understand. Nice to see you this morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So I see that you're an international award-winning pet groomer. Tell me about that.
Well, I feel weird. I see there's a lamp between us here.
Yeah, I'd like to move it because it's right in the middle.
I do competitions all over the country, sometimes the world, depending on the day, you know, that we're doing. So, we basically walk into a ring full of other people and have a hairy dog, and we groom it with a bunch of people watching us. And then we have one judge with one comb that, like, combs through every single teeny tiny little hair and finds what we miss.
You don't know the dog that you're going to be grooming?
Oh, no, we do. Yes. Okay. Yeah, you bring your own pet.
Yes. It's not a random pet.
No.
That would be wild,
yes.
though.
Yes.
And how many of these international competitions have you entered?
Oh, I could not even begin to count.
More than a dozen.
There's more than a dozen every year.
I've been
competing for about 13, 14 years now.
And so, where's the farthest away you've gone for an international contest?
Probably Korea.
Wow.
I have done Korea a couple times.
No joke.
I've done Belgium.
Tell our listeners about the Serenity Spa Salon. The few that you run here in Madison.
Yeah, so we have three locations. So we do, some of our specialties is that we do have kennel free. So the dogs get to, like, run around and play and kind of relax a little bit. So they're not just like, go to the groomer, get thrown in a crate, which how many dogs get, you know, in a crate on a daily basis? So that kind of stresses them out. So we allow them to just kind of walk around, get their surroundings comfortable. So it's not just like, hey, we're just here to do these things you don't really like and you don't really know us. And they get to sort of get to know us a little bit, get to, you know, play with the other dogs some, or kind of hang out on a bed, whatever they feel like doing. So it's a little more relaxed experience for them.
And is there a waiting list, or can, you know, they call up today and...
Oh, yeah. Usually, I mean, our Christmas week is a little insane. But we, you know, for like a bath or something, we could still squeeze in some, like, bath and tidies over Christmas. But if you want your dog done before Christmas, it would be call now, because the next 2 weeks there might be a spot or two. But after that, which is just pretty much going to be any salon in anywhere, is going to be booked like crazy. So, yeah.
And how much does it cost to get your dog groomed?
I mean, it really depends on the dog. We are definitely not the cheapest, but it's because we offer, you know, the extra quality. So we do have nothing but the best product, nothing but the best training, and the kennel free and all that extra training that's involved for my staff for that kind of behavioral aspect. So, yeah, it really depends on the dog, though.
So if people are interested in the Serenity Spa Salon and getting their dog there for this prize-winning grooming, how would they go about doing that?
So they head to the website. It's serenitypetspamadison.com. And you can go through there. You can see all of our services, kind of learn about our staff a little bit, learn a little bit more about me and what I do, and some of our philosophies. But you can also book online directly through there.
So there you go. If you want your pet to get a world-class grooming, go to Serenity Pet Spa Salon. Yeah. Liz, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank
Sorry
you.
We didn't have more time today.
Oh, that's all right.
Hope the drive wasn't too bad coming in.
It wasn't great. No,
it isn't great on the road. So if you're driving, please be careful. It's been fun being with you this morning. I'm Matt Rothschild. I've been subbing in for John and Gordy. They'll be on from 2 to 5 this afternoon all across the Civic Media Radio Network. I hope you have a nice day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.